Good evening. It is good to see everyone that is out here with us this evening. We're very thankful for your presence. We are especially thankful for any and all that are visiting with us. We're always appreciative of those that choose to come out and to join with us as we spend time in singing songs of praise to God, as we spend time in worshiping Him and reading and studying from His Word. We encourage you to open up your Bibles and to study along with us. Our desire, as we mentioned, as often as we can, is to do things in a way that is pleasing in God's sight. We're not looking to please men. We're looking to please God. And so we try to do all things through the authority of God, and that authority is derived from His Word that has been handed down to us through the apostles and the writers of the New Testament through the Holy Spirit. And we're thankful for the ability that we have. And we don't really realize just how wonderful it is that each and every one of us can have our very own copy and can sit down and read and study instead of having to go somewhere. And so we always want to encourage you to read and study your Bible. If you have any questions, we would love you to catch one of us after the services and feel free to ask any of the questions that you would have. And we'll try to do our best to give you a Bible answer for everything that we say and do, because we do look for the authority in all things. You know, when we talked this morning about being strangers and aliens in this world and how we're to live in this world as if we really don't belong here, as if we're looking for something better, we're waiting for that heavenly abode. And any time that you're away from home, one of the greatest things that you can have is contact with home, right? You know, Mom and Dad, when they went over into Canada, to keep from having any outrageous phone call charges, they just completely and totally shut their phones off. And Mom and Dad had to jump into the 21st century and learn how to do Skype. And my dad sat at Starbucks more than I ever dreamed my father would ever sit at Starbucks, so he could get the Wi-Fi there so he could talk to his kids and his grandkids. And it was just a wonderful thing to be able to sit down and have a face-to-face chat with them, and for them to get to see Brooklyn and Austin and try to keep Austin within the camera and everything. But it's good to be able to talk with family when you're away from them. And that's a wonderful thing. Not only to be able to read what they have to say or to receive emails, Facebook, all these different things, but to be able to speak with them. And you know, when we're away from our spiritual home, one of the best things we can do is read the Word of God. We just saying, give me the Bible. Reminding us that this is the Word of God, this is God's message to us, and we can read and God can speak to us through His Word. That's the way that God speaks to us today. We don't have the miraculous powers that they had in the first century. Those things passed away with the passing of the apostles. The apostles were the only ones with the authority and ability to pass these spiritual gifts on to others. When they died, that ability died with them. And so we have this Holy Spirit revealed Word, and God can talk to us through His Word. And one of the great things that we have as His children is the opportunity and the ability to speak to Him in prayer. And it's an opportunity that, well, we treat kind of like our family sometimes. You ask anybody in my family, my extended family, is Tim much of a person to call you? And they go, no, Tim doesn't call that much. I've had it brought home to me a couple of times that, you know, I take my family for granted and that I don't correspond with them as much. And I tell one of them, if he was on Facebook, I would correspond with you a lot more. If you left, it's your fault that I'm not talking to you as much, because that's just a really convenient way for me to stay in touch with my nieces and nephews and cousins and things of that nature. But it's good to correspond, and we have that ability to correspond with God, but we take it for granted. We use it at important times when we come together to worship God. We use it when we sit down, we ask God to bless our meals. And occasionally, if we're not too tired, we remember to pray to God before we go to bed, asking Him to keep our souls and pray that we might awaken in the morning and that things might go well. We oftentimes look to God in prayer when things are difficult. But one of the things that we fail to think about are things that hinder our prayers. We don't really think about these things because we think, well, God is just ready to listen to us. It doesn't really matter. God is ready to listen to us. He hears everything. In a sense, yes, God does hear everything. He's aware of all the prayers that are sent His direction. But we need to understand that there are times when God refuses to listen. There are people that God refuses to listen to because there are things that are hindering their prayers. And so this evening we want to take just a few moments and look at some things that can hinder our prayers. I encourage each and every one to look into your own life and ask yourself honestly. Don't be looking and going, well, I know God's not listening to Brother So-and-so's prayers because I know that one applies to him. His prayers, no, this is not for Brother So-and-so. This lesson is for me. And this lesson is for you. Always look at any lesson as it applies to you, not how it applies to anyone else, because then you're missing the intent of the Word of God. The Word of God is not to apply it to everybody else. Remember, Jesus told His disciples the story, the illustration of the man with a little speck in his eye and a fellow with a beam, a log sticking out. Here, let me get that speck out of your eye. And Jesus gave that, you know, you worry about your own self before you start worrying about anyone else. And so, let's look at some things this evening that can hinder our prayers. And one of the first things that most everyone understands is that when we have sin in our lives, sin in our heart, then God doesn't listen. Turn over with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms there in the 66th Psalm. Psalm 66, and let's look there in verse 18 at what the psalmist has to say. When we look at the inspired writings, we see in Psalm 66 and verse 18, he says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." We need to understand that sin separates us from God. God doesn't separate Himself from us. We choose to be separated from God. And look over in the book of Isaiah there, in Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah chapter 59, there in verses 1 and 2, we see that God is ready and He's willing to listen. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to accept you. But we can keep ourselves separate from God. In Isaiah 59, there in verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is His ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." You see, when we have sin in our life, it's like that traffic accident that's about a mile up ahead. Until that traffic accident gets cleared up, you ain't going anywhere. You're stuck. And the same is true when we want to pray to God. Unless we're seeking forgiveness for our sins, unless we're repenting of that sin, our prayers are not going anywhere. And we need to keep that in mind as we look at these things. That's what we need to be focused on in our lives, is that sin separates us from God. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions after services. But that's sin separates us from God. And if we continue in sin, if we continue to live in that sinful fashion, our prayers will continue to not be heard. In Isaiah chapter 1, there in verse 15, note what Isaiah, as he's speaking these prophecies to the nation of Israel, trying to tell them of the things that are falling upon them and the reason why these things are coming upon them. In Isaiah chapter 1, there in verse 15, it says, "So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen." You can pray to God as often as you want. Morning, afternoon, and evening, you can pray all day long. If you have sin in your heart, if you have sin in your life, you have separated yourself from God, and God will not listen. And so one of the biggest hindrances we have is that we allow sin to be in our lives or to remain in our lives. And we need to heed the words that the Apostle Peter gave to Simon the sorcerer there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 when he requested the power of the apostles. And Peter said, "You've got no part nor parcel in this." He said in verse 22, "Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." If you want your prayers to be heard, then you need to start making whatever correction is necessary, repenting of your sins and asking God for forgiveness. Again, His ear is ready to listen. He is ready to hear. He is ready to restore. But we have to do our part in getting the sin out of our lives. Another problem that can hinder our prayers going up to God is having closed ears. Turn over with me, if you would, in the book of Proverbs as we look at the writings of the wise man Solomon and so many others in Proverbs chapter 28, there in verse 9. Look at what the wise man says. He says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." In other words, God is pretty much telling us, if you're not going to listen to me, well, I'm not going to listen to you. If you're not willing to listen to what I've got to say, if you're not willing to keep what I've commanded of you, I'm not going to listen to you. And so if we have allowed ourselves to be closed off from hearing what the Word of God has to say, then God's not going to listen to us. Our prayers are not going to go before God. after Jesus gave the parable of the sower, there were those that were trying to figure out why these things are so hard to understand. And the disciples even asked why Jesus spoke in parables. And he essentially told them, you know, these things are I speak in this manner so that those who want to hear can understand, and those who choose not to hear, well, they're not going to understand. And he said further in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, for the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them. Jesus is saying they choose not to listen. These things are easy to understand if you just put a little thought process into it. If you want to hear and understand, you can. But these are he's speaking in this way so that if they want to not understand, they can choose. And the same is true today. We can choose not to listen to the Word of God. We can choose to close our ears. In 1 Peter chapter 3, there in verse 12, the Apostle Peter, he writes there in verse 12, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attended to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We've got to be ready to listen to God. We've got to open our ears, listen to God, and be obedient to His will for Him to listen to us. Another thing that can hinder our prayers, another thing that can keep God from answering or giving attention to our prayers, is we're praying through improper motives. If you look over in James chapter 4, there in verse 3, look at what James has to say when he's speaking about making request of God, petitioning God for various things in our lives. In James chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You see, one of the problems that we have in the world today, that we have in our own lives, as I talked about this morning, is we confuse our wants with our needs. We think we need certain things, or we even have this attitude that we deserve certain things. God, you owe it to me. And we pray to God with that kind of an attitude. God, I deserve this. You better give this to me or I won't serve you. Well, let me tell you, God just turned His attention away from me. When we look at the attitude that we need to have in prayer, you know, look to Jesus. When Jesus was praying the night that He was going to be betrayed, He's praying, God, I don't want to do this. I'd rather not go and be crucified. He's praying that God would change His will on what needed to be done. But note in everything, it's not my will. Jesus concluded every prayer with, not my will, but thine be done. Your will, God. Let that be done. Whatever you decide, let that be. He was very unselfish in these things. We should have a proper attitude towards God when we pray. That we're not, it's not like, it amazes me sometimes, children. You know, you go to the store and they just automatically assume, I'm going to get something. And you see parents walking through the store with their kids and you see why some kids are that way. Because they go, I want this. You don't need that. But I want it. Okay. And perhaps our parents treated us that way and we think, well, we can do God that way. God, I want this. You don't need it. But I want it anyway. Okay. God doesn't work that way. We need to have a proper attitude to God. We're petitioning Him. We're making request of Him. And we need to make sure that we're requesting with a proper attitude. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, John writes, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, according to God's will, He hears us. Now note, he doesn't say He answers us. There's the difficult thing for people to understand. They think because they don't get the answer that they want, God's not listening. No. God's listening. Jesus didn't get the answer that He wanted. Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. Well, Jesus had to go ahead and hang on the cross there, didn't He? That wasn't the answer Jesus was looking for there in the garden, but that was the answer that was given. Did God not listen to Him? No, God listened. But Jesus prayed with the proper attitude, "Your will be done. Father, if it be Your will, let this come to pass. Father, if it be Your will, let these things happen. And Father, help me to have a proper attitude in making my petitions and my prayers to You, that I'm not like that spoiled, rotten child that feels like I deserve things in life, that feels like You owe me something. God owes us nothing. God has already given us all that we ever could dream of. He gave us the ability to obtain salvation through the death of His Son. God owes us nothing." We need to make sure that we're not praying through improper motives. We also need to be careful that we don't have a wavering faith. You see, there's where some people have a difficulty. Turn back to the book of James again. There in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, there in verse 5. James writes, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will not receive, that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Note what James says here. The one who doubts, he should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. When you doubt the power of God, when you doubt His ability to do something, when you doubt your faith in God, you ought not expect to receive any answers to your prayers. Note, he says, if you ask, you'll receive. If you want wisdom, you ask. And God gives to all generously and without reproach. But you've got to ask in true and sincere faith. Not, "Well, if there is a God, then please let this happen." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You see, we have ample reason to believe that God answers prayers. Just read the Scriptures and look at these things. And once again, it's not always the answer we want. The Apostle Paul is a great example of that. The Apostle Paul had been given a thorn in the flesh so that he would not be boastful in his life, because he had been given a lot of reasons that he could boast. But God gave him this thorn in the flesh, and it was a plague to him, a constant pestilence. And he prayed to God over and over, "God, please remove this thorn in the flesh." And God, well, He answered. He said, "No, you keep it. My grace is sufficient for you, and our weaknesses were made stronger." Not the answer that we want sometimes, but God answers prayer. Look throughout the Scriptures and how people petitioned God and God listened. How they asked God for strength and they received it. They asked God to help them. You know, we can look at the life of Daniel. And throughout the book of Daniel, we can see where Daniel was a man of prayer. Apparently, he was one that had devoted his life and had set aside certain times to pray as a young man. Because when we find he's an old man there during the time of the Medes and the Persians, and the command is given that no one is to petition anyone other than the king for anything, Daniel continues his way. He goes up into the upper room, window wide open where anyone can listen. And anyone can see, and he continues to pray to God. And you know what I think he was praying to God for? "God, give me strength to keep praying to You, to stand firm in the face of the king." He knew what was awaiting him. That's where we read about the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And we always see Daniel pictured as a young man. No, he was an old man by this time. When he was thrown into the lion's den, he was old. The Israelites had been in captivity for over 70 years. Daniel was around the age of 17 when he was taken into captivity, so he was around 87 years old. He was asking God, petitioning Him with faith in God. That same faith that we read of with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar and he said, "You bow down and I'll let this go." And they said, "Oh, no. We firmly believe that our God can save us from you and from this fiery furnace. But if He chooses not to, it doesn't matter. We're still not going to serve You. We're still going to obey God." Unwavering faith is what is needed when we pray to God. In Hebrews chapter 10, there in verse 22, the author of Hebrews says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Once again, we need to make sure that we're not praying with a wavering faith. Well, God, I'm not sure if you can do this. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying to God. God, I'm not sure you want to do this. Whatever your will be done, let that, whatever your will is, you let that happen. But we need to pray to God in faith that if He wants it done, it will be done. We've got to have that kind of faith. We can see that that kind of faith comes from the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we read that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once again, letting God talk to you, and then you talk to God with that faith. Perhaps the reason your prayers are not being heard by God is because your faith is wavering. Another reason is problems in a marriage. What? You're saying just because I'm having a little difficulty, I'm having a little spat with my wife or my husband, that's why God's not listening to me? Well, turn over with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. Look over there in 1 Peter chapter 3. As Peter is discussing this very thing in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Peter says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." You want God to listen to your prayers? Treat your wife better. Oh, you women out there loving that, aren't you? Oh, yeah. God's not listening to you because of the way you're treating me. Well, it runs both ways. It does. And perhaps the reason is not that you have sin in your life. Maybe it's not a lack of faith, but it's because you've got these problems in your marriage and you're not working them out. And God, your prayers are being hindered. Straighten out the marital problems. Well, it's not that easy. Yes, it is. If you're in the wrong, repent. If you're in the right, accept that repentance. Forgive them. And get back to work. My parents had a rule. They never went to bed angry with each other. They said there was more mornings than they liked to admit that they just didn't go to bed. They wanted to make sure that they worked it out. The point is we need to make any corrections that's necessary as quickly as possible, because it's hindering our relationship problems with our husband and with our wife is hindering our relationship with God. It's hindering our prayers. Husbands, remember what he says in Ephesians chapter 5? He doesn't suggest it. He demands it. Husbands, love your wives. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. You don't know why God's not listening? Maybe you're not listening to your wife. Or maybe you're not in subjection to your husband. Or maybe your husband is being overbearing and not showing the kind of love that the example we have in Jesus Christ. Going back to Ephesians chapter 5, there in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. That's the example. That's the level of love and concern that we're to have. Your prayers aren't being listened to? Start working on your marriage, making sure that your prayers are not being hindered. The last thing we want to note is something that can hinder our prayers is spiritual weariness. It's not that God's not listening. We're not talking. It's tough in this world. We get bogged down with all these things and we just get carried away with all the worldly cares and nothing is going the way that we think it should be going. And the world is just, it's getting worse every day. More and more bad things are happening and we just become spiritually weary and we stop praying. God can't listen to you if you're not praying to Him. God can't answer your prayers if you're not offering up your petitions to Him. And it seems sometimes that we're all alone. I appreciate the prayer that was offered, that we be reminded we're not alone. God's with us. As long as we're walking with Him. And that's the key word there. The Apostle Paul encourages us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." We look around and we see the same faces. We invite people and they say no. We try to talk to people about the Bible and they reject it. And we just, the world doesn't care. And we just want to give up. And Paul says, don't give up. Never give up. Don't surrender to that attitude. You keep plucking away. Don't grow weary, because God's going to bring fruit if we would continue on. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." And remind ourselves, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" If God is on our side, and if we're on God's side, there is nothing in this world that can keep us from accomplishing what God has set before us, from doing what God desires of us. If you feel like your prayers are not being listened to by God, then start investigating your life. Don't start questioning God and His ability to listen. He's ready to listen. He's ready to answer prayers. He's ready to give the answer that we need, not what we want. But He's ready to listen. Perhaps the reason your prayers are not being heard are because you've got sin in your heart. You've got sin in your life. Get rid of the sin. God's going to listen. You can be the worst sin in the world, but the minute you start praying to God, "God, with an honest heart and sincere heart, God, please forgive me of my sin. Help me to work past this sin." Instantly, it's like He flips a switch. He's listening. You've got problems in your marriage. You've got a lack of faith. Then build up the faith that you need to believe that God is able to accomplish anything we ask of Him, as long as we're asking with the proper attitude. "God, Your will be done, not mine." Don't be asking God for that new car. "God, I need a new car." Well, you might need a new car. But God, if it be Your will, let things work out to where we can have a better transportation. Not saying, "God, I need a brand new convertible Mustang," or "God, I need a nice big Hummer," or something of that nature. No, just, "God, if it be Your will, let my transportation issues be taken care of." It might be He's got a 10-speed bike waiting on you. Accept it. "Thank You, God. Appreciate Your mercy and grace in providing me with what I needed." Sometimes we need to be knocked down a little bit. Prayer's being hindered? Fix it. God's ready to listen. Perhaps you're here, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. God listens to those that are His. The way to become a part of the family of God is revealed to us in the Scriptures. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Jesus said that in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. His apostle in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, He told them to repent and be baptized. Look throughout the book of Acts. Every instance of someone obeying the gospel, becoming a member of the body of Christ, becoming a member of a part of the kingdom, becoming a part of the church, they repented. They confessed their belief that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they were buried in the watery grave of baptism. And God was ready to listen to anything they had to say, as long as with a proper attitude. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, and you want God to listen to you, confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be buried in baptism. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel at some point in time in your life. You've become a part of the kingdom of God, and you just feel like God's not listening. If you've got sin in your heart, repent. If it's of a private nature, start praying right now. You can quit listening to anything else I have to say. Just start praying to God for forgiveness. And God's ready to listen to you if you're praying with an honest and sincere heart. If you want the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ on your behalf, come forward and let us know how we can help you. And we'll pray to God with you and for you, that anything that needs to be corrected will be, that He'll forgive you of whatever sin or help you in whatever struggle. Prayer is one of the most amazing gifts we have as Christians. The ability to talk to God and to know that He's listening. And if He's not listening to you, fix it tonight as we stand and as we sing.